There we go. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe you've noticed that those of us giving instructions are saying things like, be present, yeah, being present for the puja last night, being present in the body scan, being present for your experience, yeah, just being aware. And this is quite a receptive quality. Mm-hmm. Being mindful. Now, this is preceded by some degree. It might be just a hint, but there is some degree of intentionality. Yeah? So you turn towards what you want to be with. You first have to turn towards it. You first have to be there for it. Yeah? So if I've got in mind, I want to be with Maitri Mala, yeah, I need to go to her and then I can be with her. I can be present for her. Yeah? It's not a big thing. The words almost make it too much. Yeah? But there is this, you turn towards your experience and then you're there for it. Yeah? And that's not a big deal. Yeah? Just being there for it. We stay with it. Mm-hmm. It's like you open your eyes and then you're present for what you're seeing. Yeah? You turn to hearing sounds. You're just present for the sound, receiving. You don't have to go out listening and strain and is it this, is it that? It's a receptive state. Right? You're present and you're receptive. When you eat your food, mm-hmm. are you there for the tasting or are you somewhere else? You know, we're putting it in. Are we present for the experience of tasting it? It's really very simple. Yeah. When you touch something, mm-hmm. do you actually feel it? Or are you thinking about it? Are you telling yourself a story? Or you're already on to the next thing, but your touch is here. So this is keep coming back, being present, and mindful. We can't do mindfulness. We can only be mindful, yeah? And that's worth reflecting on. So I'd like us to do a little exercise. And I'm going to ask you two questions, and it would during the exercise. And it'd be really helpful if you would give me an answer. Yeah, and if you just say yes or no. Okay, really easy. Okay. So, can you hear the sound?
Yes.
Can you hear it?
Yes.
Do you know you're hearing it?
Yes.
Then you're mindful. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Yeah. You're with the experience and there's this knowing. It's no big strain. Yeah. It's quite simple. It is simple, but it's not easy. Yeah. Because we forget, because we're not present, because there's so much else going on, yeah? So many other places to go to. Yeah. So our practice is letting this experience be known, letting the sound of the bell be known, yeah? Letting the taste of your food be known. Letting the touch of the air outside be known. That's what happens if you're present for the experience. And in a way, I could stop talking there, because that's it. Yeah. But there's more I'd like to say, so I won't stop. I won't stop. So the meaning of satipatthana, sati upatthana, that's the verb. Upatthana means standing close by. So this is what I've just been trying to describe. We're standing close by with mindfulness. This is the satipatthana practice. You know, and if that's too clunky, you're just present, being present with mindfulness. And the quality of this mindfulness is that it's open, it's soft, it's receptive, and it's alert. And Satipatthana is the Buddha's main teaching on mindfulness, as well as being quite a comprehensive collection of meditation instructions. And that makes it quite special because it tells us how we do it. How do we establish mindfulness? And this is what I want to talk about a little bit today, about the sutta itself. What's the Buddha teaching us here, and how is he encouraging us to do it? And the sutta starts with a statement. And this statement, which I'll read to you in a minute, it lays out a direct path that leads from suffering to peace and liberation. And I was struck last night when we did the Buddha Puja. I can't remember the words exactly, but at one point, something like the Buddha's thoughts are peace, the Buddha's words are peace, the Buddha's body is peace. But that's it. Yeah. And that's what we're moving towards. And this is a direct path that can take us there. And today you'll all be getting a copy of the Satipatthana Sutta. And if you like to read, read this again and again. You can't read it enough. You can't become familiar enough with this. And the more you read it, the more you get into the practice, like worlds show themselves to you. And this afternoon we'll have a ritual reading of it. So we will be hearing it. So this is how the sutta starts. Well, of course it starts, thus have I heard. Thus have I heard, on one occasion, the Blessed One was living in the Kuru country at a town of the Kurus named Kamasadama. There the Blessed One said this, and this is quite a statement now. This is the direct path for the purification of beings, for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of dukkha and discontent, for acquiring the true method, for the realization of nibbana, namely the four satipatthanas. So the four satipatthanas are the path. And that's his opening statement. And how do we do this? By investigating our own mind-body processes. We're investigating our interrelatedness, interconnectedness to other people, to our surroundings, to nature, to reality. These are Bhante's four dimensions of mindfulness, if you're familiar with that. We're doing this by becoming more and more aware of the forces of conditionality. It comes down to not just knowing pratityasamutpada, oh, I studied that. Are you living it? Are you taking that on board? Are you letting that inform how your practice, your life is unfolding? So with the help of mindfulness, we move in more closely, we see more clearly what's actually happening. And this is where we shift from a conceptual level to the level of direct experience. And I just wanted to say a little bit about direct experience, because it's a bit of a, what do you say, a buzzword, or it's a thing, and we talk a lot about it. But what is it actually? And another way of describing it is, it's the felt sense. The felt sense of touch, the felt sense of your food in your mouth, the felt sense of this sound. It doesn't matter where it's coming from, what its origin is, where it's going, it's just this felt sense, contact, direct. And we're having this fantastic opportunity in the afternoon with the body scan, where we're being led into this meeting with our body directly. And the direct experience is, what do you actually feel? We don't actually feel our heel on the ground. The heel is a concept. It's a word we use and we need to describe this part of the foot. Otherwise, I wouldn't know what my Chimala was talking about. But the actual sense, felt sense of the heel on the floor is hardness or heaviness or pressure. Maybe there's some tingling, maybe there's some pulsating. So when we do it again this afternoon, just try and bring this dimension in. What am I actually feeling in the part of the body that she's naming? Warm or cold, that's the direct experience. Hard, soft, heaviness, whatever. That's where we can, what we can stay with. And as you'll hear, direct experience is not the whole story. It's like it's really important, but it's not the whole story. Why do we want to feel into these experiences so that we can have a direct experience of their changing nature? It's not just all about direct experience. It's not all about just being in the moment. There's a purpose to that, so we can move in closer to arising and passing, impermanence, the changing nature of reality. This is where we can have a direct experience of conditionality, of pratityasamuppada. Why this is so important is, this is how we turn towards and stay with what's actually happening in our direct experience, and then letting go or loosening the grip on our ideas about what should be happening, how it should be. Can I make my peace with what's happening, rather than getting tangled up in what I think should be happening? This is the resistance. This is the second arrow. There's something going on, and that might be unpleasant, it might be painful. But can I be with that? Can I make peace with that? I don't have to like it, I don't have to think it's good, but without then resisting, rejecting, or blocking it, or drowning in it. And this is where it's important for us to have a look at our expectations. we've come here with certain expectations about the retreat, what we'd like to get from it. We've come here with expectations about our practice, where we'd like to be at the end of the retreat. Yeah? And I just say, drop it. Yeah. What other people have said about this kind of retreat, that's their experience. Mm-hmm. And that's valid for them. But for you, what's really valid is that you turn and trust your own experience. Everybody's experience is different. Yeah? You're having yours and someone else is having hers. So it's another burden, it's another arrow, these expectations. And then we can get caught up in what we think should be happening, and it's not. So I'm doing something wrong, or the retreat isn't right. Yeah. It may be that this approach turns out not to be for you, but still, it's worthwhile having become acquainted with it, yeah, having had a chance to get to know it. That's different. But don't put yourself under pressure to think, I should be having a particular experience. Have your experience, trust it, go with it. Yeah. And a large part of Satipatthana practice is meeting our experience with interest, exploring it, investigating it. And that implies a willingness to discover it's not what I thought. It's not how I thought it would be, or it should be. Yeah. Okay, so we'll have a look at the structure of the sutta now. Just have to negotiate this, the technology. Can you see? Okay, so this is, we've already heard that this is a direct path. And the Buddha frames the sutta in this statement at the beginning and at the end. Yeah. So in case you'd forgotten underway, he says, remember, yeah, this is what I'm teaching, a path that leads from suffering to peace and liberation. So remember that. Mm. And then he lays out this map of the teaching and the practice. And the first part is what's called the definition. And these are the mental qualities that are necessary for Satipatthana practice. Mm-hmm. And it's mindfulness plus friends. It's not only mindfulness. Yeah? Mindfulness alone is not enough. There's a book by a teacher called Utejaniya, and it's called Awareness Alone is Not Enough. Yeah, that's fantastic, but that's not going to get us to where we're going to go, to liberation on its own. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk about these in more detail in a minute. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of how are we mindful, you could say, the mental qualities that are necessary, you know, the attitudes. Mm-hmm. Then what are we mindful of? The Buddha tells us what to be mindful of. Mm-hmm. The four fields of mindfulness, you could say. And this is, I mean, it's ingenious really, because he says, be mindful of what you've got. Yeah. And what have we got? We've got a body. Yeah. And there are seven different contemplations of body mindfulness, what you can be mindful of. So it's a great choice. Yeah? It's not just you have to do this or you have to do that. Yeah? Then, because we've got a body, what do we have? We have sensations and a feeling tone to those sensations. So there's Vedana. You can be mindful of Vedana. It's the second Satipatthana. Yeah? And then we're not only body, we're also mind and heart. Yeah? So he takes us into being mindful of citta. That's the third satipatthana. Citta, double T, yeah, mind and heart. Mm-hmm. Really getting to know your mind. And double underline, developing a different relationship to your mind. Yeah. We'll get there. Yeah. And the fourth satipatthana then is dhammas. You could say this is, we're bringing in the dharmic perspective here. We're looking at, we're exploring reality here with dhammas, yeah, of which we're a part. So that's what we're mindful of. And then comes, how do we look at or relate to the world? Yeah. And the sutta tells us we can take different perspectives. And this is where we're applying the Dharma. Yeah. It's where we bring in the dharmic view, if you like, of what's going on. We're not looking at our body to see if it's beautiful or not beautiful, you know, or if it's age, if it's old or young. We're looking at it to see, is it, how is it changing? Yeah, how am I relating to it? Am I clinging to it? How attached am I to it? Yeah, how identified am I with it? And this is called the refrain. Yeah, the refrain. And here are the practice instructions. Yeah? How we bring the Dharma to our experience. Yeah? This is so important that it's repeated, and I'm not sure if it's 13 or 17 times. Yeah, but the Buddha says, be mindful of your body, like this. Be mindful of posture, like this. And he goes on and on and on and on and on. And he just keeps repeating it. After every instruction, this is the perspective you take. You don't take a perspective of, I like it or I don't like it. Yeah. You don't take the perspective of, it's mine or it's not mine. Yeah. This is the perspective you take, the dharmic perspective. And this is where the lakshanas come in, the three lakshanas. And conditionality. That's how we're relating to reality, to experience. Because yeah? That, as the Buddha found, is what's going to liberate us. Yeah? And then comes the prediction. And the prediction, which I'll read to you at the end of the morning, is really an expression of the Buddha's confidence, I think, well, in us really. He says, if you do this, if you proceed this way, you will be liberated. You will attain to peace. You can do it. I mean, before Obama was saying, yes, we can, yes, you can, the Buddha was saying it, yeah? This is his expression of confidence, yeah? If we take on conditionality, yeah? Well, that's the middle line of it all. Praticca Samuppada, are you willing to engage in that way with life, with experience? Then, yeah, you will be successful. And then at the end he repeats direct path again. So what I want to do is to look more closely at mindfulness and friends. Yeah. What else do we need? And we'll see how far we get. This is going to be we'll go through the four satipatthanas during the retreat. Yeah, and I'll say more about them when we get to them. And I'll see if we do that today or not. See how we are. Yeah. Okay. Right, so I'll read the definition to you. So the Buddha's already said, okay, this is the path, yeah, and it's practicing the four Satipatthanas. The definition, what are the four? So he's going to tell us, but pay attention to the how. This is what's of interest here. What are the four? Here, in regard to the body, she abides contemplating the body, diligent, clearly knowing and mindful, free of desires and discontent in regard to the world. In regard to feelings, she abides contemplating feelings, diligent, clearly knowing and mindful, free of desires and discontent in regard to the world. In regard to the mind, she abides contemplating the mind, diligent, clearly knowing and mindful, free of desires and discontent in regard to the world. In regard to dhammas, she abides contemplating dhammas, diligent, clearly knowing and mindful, free from desires and discontent in regard to the world. So these four mental qualities, how we relate to these four fields of experience, that's what we're going to look at a little bit more now. Perhaps to begin with, the first thing the Buddha says here, she abides contemplating the body. She abides contemplating feelings. She abides contemplating the mind. Yeah. She abides contemplating dhammas. And this is a really interesting statement the Buddha's making here. Abides contemplating. What that's referring to is repeatedly looking at. Yeah. And it's what, you know, in common dharmic parlance, if there is such a thing, we talk a lot about turning towards and staying with. Yeah. This is where the Buddha talked about this. Abiding, contemplating. So you keep coming back, repeatedly looking at something, turning towards it, staying with it. I can't remember who it is now, but one popular Dharma teacher said something like 80 or 90% of our practice is staying with. It's interesting. So the first mental quality that the Buddha talks about here that's required for this practice is what's translated here as diligent. I like to go back to the Pali words because it gives us more of a feel and a flavour. The word is atapi. Yeah? We have an order member called Atapini. Yeah? This is the source, atapi. And atapi is what keeps us going. Yeah? There's a connection to tapas, fire. Yeah? So it's not letting the fire go out. I'm going to offer you a few descriptions, and maybe, hopefully, there's one where you'll say, oh, yeah, if I could just remember that. Yeah, so take your pick. So we're not letting the fire go out, yeah? Perseverance. Commitment. This is where it starts with commitment. It's interesting. You need to be committed to your practice. And there's a beautiful description by a Chinese Chan master, or not description, translation of this. Spiritual ardency as the long enduring mind. When I read that the first time, it really touched me. The long enduring mind. It's the mind that's got the strength, the steadiness, the calmness to just endure, the long enduring enduring mind. We're on a, this path is long. We're on a long journey. Yeah, it's not quick. Well, maybe it is for some. Who am I to say? But it needs. We need to find out what sustains and nourishes us through all the ups and downs of practice. This is the quality of a tapi. Yeah. So balanced effort comes in here. Yeah. And another description I really like, it's the wellspring of a courageous heart. So what this boils down to then is, what you need is interest. Interest and energy. Yeah. Then the second quality that we heard about is clearly knowing. And clearly knowing is a translation of sampajana. This is the knowing aspect of mindfulness. We often hear them together, sati sampajana. Yeah, they're like a pair. They really go well together. They really fit one another or suit one another. And this knowing aspect, we practiced it with the bell. Yeah? You heard the sound and you knew you were hearing the sound. Mm-hmm. Here is the seed of wisdom, this knowing. Mm-hmm. Sampajana emphasizes clarity of mind, yeah, and it brings in the dimension of knowing what we're doing, why we're doing it, where we're going. And this is where it opens up from just being about the present moment. It's not all about the here and now. That's part of it. Yeah. But sampajana brings in this perspective. Yeah. Where am I going? Why am I going there? What does it need? Yeah. This is also a dimension of the knowing. This is the basis for wise discernment, wise choices. We have to make lots of choices. So how do we do it? What faculty, what quality helps us to do this? Mm-hmm. And this can be as simple as, or as difficult as, let's say as difficult as, you know, knowing what your next step is in your practice. Yeah. And it's this assessing, seeing it in relation to, knowing why am I doing it, where is it taking me? Yeah, wise discernment. Or as simple as, you want a cup of tea. Yeah, this is the present moment experience. Yeah. And it's this knowing why and where and what's needed that takes you to the kitchen and not to the bathroom. Yeah? It's elemental, really. Mm-hmm. You want a cup of tea and you know where to go to get it. Yeah? You don't go to the bathroom for your tea. Mm-hmm. And this is what helps us to differentiate between skillful and unskillful. That's the second mental quality, is clearly knowing. And then comes just mindfulness, mm-hmm. which we've talked about a little bit already, is being mindful. Yeah. The open, soft, receptive, alert. You're there. Yeah. And this will come in again and again over the next few days. Unfolding more of mindfulness, the qualities of mindfulness, But it's one of the qualities is mindfulness doesn't interfere. Yeah, it shows what's there. We're with it. Doesn't interfere. Doesn't try to change anything. So in your practice, let's say in your meditation practice, how you could work with these four qualities is you check, okay, am I present? Yeah. Then sati, sati is there. Yeah. Am I interested in what's going on? Atapi is there. Yeah. Do I know what's going on? Sampajana is there. Yeah. And the fourth one I'll come to in a minute. But those three, quite easy to relate to. Yeah. And you can just do that check. Am I present? Do I know what's going on? Is there interest? Yeah. Even whether it's your the pain in your back or you're planning for the next thing, yeah. Am I interested in how I'm relating to this experience? Am I interested in what's going on in my mind? Or am I more interested in my fantasies and, yeah, all the other stuff that tends to come up? Okay, now the fourth quality is that the Buddha said you need to practice Satipatthana is free of desires and discontent in regard to the world. Free of desires and discontent in regard to the world. Vinaya abhija domanassa. This is inner contentment with whatever is happening. Yeah. Inner contentment with whatever is happening. So we're free of the two greatest, strongest hindrances or obstacles. Yeah. Desire, wanting, craving, and discontent, the aversion, get rid of. Yeah. So we're free of those. And this invites or leads to kind of ease of being. Calmness and ease of being. So this would be the fourth quality you could check for in your meditation practice. You've checked, am I present? Know what's going on? Is there some, can I be interested in this? Yeah. Interest, can I look at it? Yeah. And then can I be at ease with it? The at ease doesn't mean I like it, it's good. It means there's no struggle or resistance. Maybe there can be less struggle. It doesn't have to be an either or. My tendency would be to leave it there for today. Yeah, I think perhaps that's enough for you to take into your practice. And tomorrow then we'll look at the refrain. But I do want to read out the prediction. If anyone should develop these four satipatthanas in such a way, for 7 years, one of two fruits could be expected for her. Either final knowledge here and now, or if there is a trace of clinging left, non-returning. Let alone 7 years, 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, 7 months, 6 months, 5 months, 4 months, 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, half a month. If anyone should develop these four satipatthanas in such a way for 7 days, one of two fruits could be expected for her. Either final knowledge here and now, or if there is a trace of clinging left, non-returning. 7 days. Yeah, we've got 7 days. So we're going to put aside all the expectations we've brought with us. We're opening up, becoming receptive, curious, with interest, and we're just going to go with it. And we'll see what happens at the end of 7 days.